D-Mace, Vink, and the Donic, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donic, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you at Bridgestone Arena. Predators and Senators tonight at 6:30. I repeat, 6:30 puck drop. Pregame at 5:30 right here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. I understand back at our Game Nashville Studios, Teron Davenport is with us, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter. TD, we started the show by referencing your story that was published late last week on ESPN.com about the Titans evaluation process, specifically when it came to the quarterbacks. We read the quote that Brian Callahan gave you where he made a comparison between Shedeur Sanders and Joe Burrow. If I recall correctly, it was about their ability to anticipate throws, right, because they don't necessarily have the big arm strength. And I'm sure you expected this. People took that quote and aggregated it and said, look at this crazy comparison that Brian Callahan is making. Isn't he crazy? But since you were the person who was actually speaking to Brian Callahan when he said that, what did you make of that comparison between Burrow and Sanders in that specific area?
Yeah, you know, all the aggregators who you know what I mean, link or not, who posted that, make sure y'all link back to the story.
That's very important. You know, that's very important.
We don't have any thievery here in the 615 area, you feel me? No, all jokes aside, I asked him specifically. I was going through the different things with Shedeur. Like, it's no secret. That's one of my favorite prospects in this draft class, followed closely by Cam Ward, by the way. And I was just going through the different traits. I'm like, well, what do you think about what people say when they talk, they say his arm isn't strong? And I'm like, because, Callie, like, the dude played in Colorado. Last time I checked, Colorado, like, wasn't the most conducive situation to throwing the football. And he said, oh, yeah, I mean, that's when he went into the Burrow thing. And it wasn't so much like he was saying Shedeur Sanders is Joe Burrow. And that's the problem when you get this, you know, pooling of information and not looking at the full picture. All he was saying is, like, they have a similar trait in that they are very anticipatory and they know where they want to go with the football. That's all he was saying.
Teron, it seems like a lot of the scuttlebutt at these events, the East-West Shrine Bowl and the Senior Bowl, is that Cam Ward might have an edge over Shedeur Sanders, yeah, as it relates to the number one pick in the NFL draft. Based on your own evaluation and also people that you speak to around the league, why is Cam Ward on top of Shedeur Sanders as it stands right now in that thinking?
Well, first off, he's not. I mean, the Titans themselves don't even know that answer. So whoever is out here saying that, there is blasphemy. Right? They don't know that they're going to go. They haven't even, they talked, they interviewed Shedeur. They talked to Shedeur, and he wowed them at the interview. They haven't even sat down and talked to Cam yet. They haven't even seen either of these guys throw live. Like, how can they have one guy on top? That's bull crap. You know, just being frank. Now, as far as watching them, like, from my perspective, it's hard because it depends on what you want. You know, I think if I'm the Titans in their situation now, where you have a head coach who, you know, is looking to show that he belongs quicker than later, I would go Shedeur. But also, these things are all about fit. You know, Daniel Jeremiah said it yesterday, you know, that he didn't think these are quarterbacks that have universal fits, but it's going to be all about where they go. Now, I disagree because both of them played collectively for seven different offensive coordinators, but we're not going to get into all that. I would say that Shedeur is the perfect fit for what Brian Callahan wants to do on offense. And you also have to look at what did he say were the three principles, right? He said, and I asked him again specifically, you know, the core pillars of quarterbacking. And he said, decision-making, accuracy, and processing. Well, when you say Shedeur Sanders, what do you do best? He's going to tell you decision-making, accuracy, and processing. And when you watch him, that's what you see. So for me, if I were making a pick, that would be the direction I go. But it's awfully hard to, you know, turn down the playmaking and plutonium-level upside that Cam Ward has.
You said that the Titans haven't had an opportunity yet to meet with Cam Ward. When is the earliest they can do that? When do you expect them to do that?
It's probably going to be combine. And that's why, you know, there was some disappointment that, you know, he didn't take part in the Senior Bowl stuff, because that's an earlier opportunity to meet them. And then let me also say this. I know there was a report that the Titans told Shedeur Sanders not to work out. That was grossly incorrect also. And it's funny, because when it came out, I was literally standing there talking to Darryl Colbert, who's Cam Ward and Shedeur Sanders. I was talking to their quarterback coach, and I was like, look at this. And they said, yeah, that's not true. And I was like, I know. I talked to them. They told me it was far from the truth. So I just wanted to clear that up too.
Great. Now, TD, did – because we – I'm sure Brian Callahan understands the position he's in right now. And I think, you know, upper management pretty much said, so, hey, listen, yeah, we're going to be patient, but also we know that we're going to hold, you know, Brian Callahan accountable for this season.
Right.
You know, with that being said, and him knowing, how does he – did you get a sense of how he's sort of navigating all this? Because you know your job's on the line. That has to be in the back of your head as well. But then also you want to pick a quarterback or an individual, a player that is going to be best for this organization and it's going to help this organization win. I wonder how he's processing all of that, or even if he had a chance to process it.
Yeah, you know, here's the good thing, and you know from playing for some for you know for coaches and stuff, a coach always feels like his job's on the line. You know what I mean? So it's kind of more of the same for Brian Callahan. It's like they're coaching for their job every day. That's how they feel, and that's why they spend ungodly amounts of time at the office, because they don't want to lose any advantage whatsoever. And so I think, you know, when you talk to Callahan, you know, I asked him about the now versus the potential, and he's just like, you know, end of the day, I just want the best player. And whether that's potential or ready now, I just want the best guy for this situation that we're in for the Tennessee Titans. Those are the words he literally said to me. It's interesting because I asked Mike Borgonzi, because I had a one-on-one with him at the Senior Bowl, and talked to him about similar. I just said, well, you know, do you look at all towards the stadium opening, you know, and how you have to have some success rolling into there? And he was like, no. All we're looking at is who could come in and help this team right now. And so that's kind of, in a nutshell, what these guys are looking at. It's the immediate. They want somebody to help them now, whether that be, you know, either the quarterbacks, Abdul Carter, whose value just went out of the roof, by the way, with Myles Garrett asking to be traded, or you know, Travis Hunter.
Now, was there anything or has there been anything that has happened? Because we understand this, TD. Right now, things are happening, and it seems like because it's the here and now, everything is sort of moving fast, fluid, in regards to the draft. But we haven't even started free agency yet.
See?
So when you look at this and you try to decipher between these quarterbacks, or even say an Abdul Carter or Travis Hunter, do you think we get a better idea of where they're going once free agency truly starts? Because we got to understand that the attention is going to shift.
Yes.
Not just with teams, but I think from a media standpoint, it's going to shift from the draft to free agency. And what teams do in free agency will change what people are putting out there about that particular team in the draft. You know, say, for instance, if the Titans choose to go get a bridge quarterback or a quarterback, Darnold or whatever, it changes what people think they're going to do in the draft. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. And those two things are so intertwined, and it's just another part of the masterful way the league has set things up to where the NFL is always important. The daggone draft gets more people watching that than, you know, NBA finals. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy, but it's true. So here's the thing. When you look at this whole situation with the quarterback, and that's one of the things I also talked to Mike Borgonzi about, the bridge quarterback concept. And he was so, so praiseful of Alex Smith. Mm-hmm. And he talked about the way he was a veteran and they could obviously win now. But also he was a guy who was mature enough to understand that, you know, hey, I'm bringing I have to bring this guy in. They drafted this guy. They moved up to get him. He's my replacement. My days are numbered here, but I'm going to help him, right? And he was willing to do that. Now, not everybody's willing to do that. You know what I mean? So it's going to really take a certain type of bridge quarterback if that's the avenue that they go. And that's basically what Borgonzi was telling me. So that's going to be interesting what happens on the veteran side of things. I mean, look, Aaron Rodgers, if he comes available, he could very well be in play. Now, if you're bringing in Aaron Rodgers, don't expect him to, you know, help whoever's behind him, because that's not what he received, right? And Aaron Rodgers, we know Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers. You know what I mean? He's not gonna do that. But if you do bring him in, then that's, you know, that's your guy, that's your bridge, so to speak, for the next couple of years. But in 2 years, you know, you're gonna be in a situation where you really gotta find something. Sam Darnold is another option. I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's another one in play. We'll see who else shakes free. You know, like, you look at when the Chiefs traded Alex Smith to the then it was the, you know, the Washington football team. When they traded him there, you know, nobody really expected that trade to happen, but it happened, and boom.
We're talking to Teron Davenport. Teron, Myles Garrett and the announcement that he wants to be traded, that was quite the production. That's a seismic player.
Ooh.
And, of course, the Browns pick second. What do you think that has as far as an effect on the draft? Like, how does a Mike Borgonzi look at that and say, okay, how does that affect what we need to do?
Yeah, well, I know one thing. Andre Diller over there with the Packers, he's praying that the Vikings, Lions, and Bears don't get him, because he will definitely be saying, oh, my. but you look at that trade. So, obviously, that's going to impact some first-round picks, you know, and it's going to probably require two of them. The Titans don't necessarily have to be concerned with that too much unless they trade down. Because now, you know, if a team trades for Myles Garrett, they're not going to be able to move down to three like may have been thought before and still be able to get Abdul Carter. Because the Browns trade Myles Garrett, Abdul Carter, a.k.a. Micah Parsons, is the guy they're bringing. He's coming in, and he's going to take over as their next centerpiece on defense. So I think that's how it affects a team like the Titans. But even at number one, like, if they want to, you know, take this year's one and next year's one, and I wouldn't do it because they're not just a Myles Garrett away from being successful. But if they want to do that, they're definitely in a really good place to do it.
I'm curious, other things that you are learning about Borgonzi in this early portion of his tenure as he tries to set up the system here. For example, did you get the sense? Like, I got the sense from Brian Callahan at his last press conference at the end of the regular season that he would love to be involved in the evaluation process of these quarterbacks. Yeah. Do you get the feeling this was before Borgonzi was even hired,
yeah,
right? So do you feel like Borgonzi is the type that will really allow Brian Callahan to be part of that
absolutely
process?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that, because then I touched on it in the story. Well, first off, Borgonzi, he's a scout at heart, right? He's an evaluator at heart. So, yeah, definitely he's going to want to be involved. But one of the things I asked him, because I was so intrigued, because so many times that you look at right now, right, everybody's talking about what Cam Ward can't do. Everybody's talking about what Shedeur Sanders can't. Oh, he doesn't have a strong arm. Oh, he holds on to the ball. Well, what about what he does really well? Like, he's a surgeon. What about what Cam does really well? Things go off schedule, he's going to make things happen. Like, if he has to freelance, you know what I mean? And he can win from the pocket. So I say all that to say, I was really fascinated by how the Chiefs said, you know what, forget all the areas of improvement. Let's look at what this dude could do well, because good gracious, at Texas Tech, he was killing it. You know what I mean? And that's how they looked at it. So I asked him about that process, and he said, well, you know, we did hone in on what he did well, and watching film with Andy Reid, like having Andy Reid there really helped, because we'll be sitting there watching film, and we'll see Patrick throw from a bad mechanics and his body angle isn't right, this, that, and his footwork is wrong. And Andy would just look at it and say, man, I could fix that. And so having that luxury, right, the luxury that, you know, everyone thought was going to happen with Bill Callahan and Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, it happened with Patrick Mahomes, Andy Reid, Mike Borgonzi, Brett Veach. So that's more or less an example of the willingness. And so I said, well, what about Brian Callahan? Like, what do you think he could bring? And he talked about how Callahan is a very smart coach. He talked about his tenure. You know, he's like, man, this guy worked with Peyton Manning, with Matthew Stafford, with Joe Burrow. Man, he worked with a lot of quarterbacks. So they're going to use Callahan in this evaluation process. I just wonder if, you know, it's going to be Callahan saying, hey, you know what? I know he likes to freelance a little bit, but we could rein that in. You know what I mean? So that's going to be an interesting thing to watch.
I'm curious, too, as you learn more about Borgonzi, there's been so much rhetoric about who's got the call and how does the communication system work, who's in charge, all of that. But we know that if you're the right personality, that you can just sort of have people rally around you and you sort of naturally become the captain of the ship. Do you think Borgonzi's got that sort of in his DNA? Do you sense that?
I do. I like Borgonzi. Just talking to him one-on-one. Willie, by the way, he's a Red Sox fan, and he's in our age demographic. Before we even talked about football, I drilled him about that 86 World Series. You best believe that. But I think he does have that ability, and the thing is, he came from that. He saw that, right? Obviously, Brett Veach was the GM. He was the assistant GM. Andy Reid was where the buck stopped, right? And so you look at the Mahomes situation. They had to get – Reed to buy in on Mahomes, and then once he bought in and he's like, oh yeah, I could do this, I could do that, this, then the end product is, hey, we're going to move up to get him. So I think just having this isn't unfamiliar territory for him, so I think he'll be in good shape there.
Teron Davenport, ESPN NFL Nation Titans reporter, joining us. News to everybody out there. If you're going to aggregate Teron, at least link to the story.
That's very, please link to the story.
Linking is very important. Even if you blow the quote out of proportion, at least link to the story. Yeah. Teron, great stuff, my friend. We'll talk next week.
All right, for sure. Appreciate you guys.
Yep.
TD joining us on the program, 615-737-1025. Okay, let's get to that Vanderbilt story I teased earlier because we had lots of calls. I'm glad we had them. Let's get to that Vanderbilt story I teased. Coming up next, Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.